Exodus chapter 17. Need a volunteer. I need a strong volunteer. What? Steve Smith's checking out the guns over there. All right. Do I have a volunteer? Or I'm gonna have to. All right. A stronger volunteer. Maybe a young person. All right, Nathan. All right. I'm gonna need you for a while. All right. Good. All right. Come on up. Oh, good. All right. No, I'm just gonna have you. So, open your Bibles up to Exodus chapter 17. A few weeks ago, we preached a message on distractions. I hope this doesn't bother anybody. Yeah, I know, it works out good. It works out good. My height and his seem to be connecting. Like it's right and okay. Yes, it is. Now it is.
All right, sorry. All right. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited the Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. I love that saying. Discomfited. I've been uncomfortable before, but never by the edge of a sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the songs that have been lifted up to you. And God, I'm thankful that we have a firm foundation that we can base our life, our all upon. God, thank you that you are in control. As we sang these songs, it just rings in our hearts of God, who you are and what you've done for us. God, I pray that you bless tonight's message. And God, I pray that we would illustrate what it is that's happening here in this passage. Lord, again, thank you for your kindness and your gentleness towards us. Thank you for being so long-suffering in the midst of even our unfaithfulness to you, Lord. You love us. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. May tonight be no different, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate Nathan standing there for a while. And what's going to happen, if it hasn't already, are your hands shaking a little? A little bit? Nathan's hands shake a little bit to begin with anyways. But what's going to happen, now Nathan's not holding up really anything other than the weight of his arms. Now, Nathan's a strong boy. If you've ever arm wrestled Nathan or wrestled with Nathan, there's not too many that could win that battle, even in this room. But even the strongest of men, weary. Even the strongest of men, just going throughout life, get tired. And the ways of life and even the ways of Christianity just begin to weigh down and it just gets hard a little bit. All Moses was called upon to do here was just hold his hands up. And as long as he held the hands up, Israel would defeat the Amalekites. But when his hands would drop, Israel would begin to lose. And so they saw that illustrated on the top of that hill that day. There he stood with his hands up, and Israel could look up and see. And as long as Moses' hands were just like this, he'd be fine. But slowly over time, he'd get tired and he'd get heavy. I'm thinking by the end of the message, sometime throughout, those hands might drop. You know what? As strong as we are, and as much as we have it all together, there's things that the Lord does in our life to make us ask for help. He doesn't want us all alone. He sent three up on top of the hill. It wasn't like Aaron and Hur are watching Moses. But there came a time. Now, you've been here 5 minutes. Nathan's a strong boy. Maybe 10. If that. And he's not even holding anything up. Just the normal, everyday bits of life. Say, life is busy or it's consumed. Hey, we're just talking about normal life. You know what he needs? Yeah. He needs Aaron and he needs her. See, God knew that day. So he put some people in Moses' life. I do need two more volunteers. Yeah, all right, Mr. McDee. Hudson, you can't reach his arms, buddy. All right, Jake, come on up. I want you to do two things. I want you to get... They're fighting over who's Aaron and who's her. I want you to get something else for him. I want you to get a chair. Say, how is that fair? They're like, oh, no. They got him a stone, and they sat down. There you go. Good. All right, have a seat. Oh, isn't that better? Yes. You know, and that's exactly what happened. But God knew Moses was going to need help. So he sent two more. You know what? You need help. And within this room are a bunch of Aarons and Hurs. Now, you can try and do it yourself. Even the strongest of men can only last so long. I dare say if I brought three or four guys up here, it would turn into a competition. They would do it till the blood left their hands. But eventually, within probably 10 or 15 minutes, hands will drop because it gets heavy. I don't know about you, but I can go to certain times in my life where I felt like quitting. And Aaron and Hur came by and lifted me up for a little while. So tonight, tonight's message's name is not Keep Your Hands Up. Tonight's message's title is Keep My Hands Up. Because I can only do so much. You can only do so much. After a while, you're going to get tired. And you're going to need some encouragement and help. Gentlemen, I appreciate your help illustrating this. You can go sit down so we can conclude the... We can go through this. Thank you, Nathan. How you doing? You all right? Was that helpful when the boys came by? Okay. They could have done that for a while. Because the weight wasn't all on Eric and Jacob. Nathan was helping. But together they did it. And they could stay like that for a while. They took, what does sitting down do? Take some of the stress off of it all. Thankful for people in my life that kept my hands up. And if you think for a minute that you can do it on your own, you're mistaken. You need encouragement. You need Aaron and her. Or else we'd have a church of one. Understand, and I want you to get that point. God sent Moses, Aaron, and her up on top. Because He knew we're limited. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. The points will be quick, but I have a bunch. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. For let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What was the point of Aaron and her? To support Moses. If Aaron and her don't come, you know what? Not just Moses fails, but all of Israel fails. And we think we're all by ourselves in this thing. But you understand you have an integral part of Christianity. And if you fail, that's going to hurt a multitude. Say, that's too much pressure. That's why you have Aaron and her. Because you're right, you can't do it on your own. You can go home tonight and have arm-raising competitions if you want. But it's not going to be too long until just the weight of life pulls you down. To the point where there would have come a point where he just can't do it anymore. As much as he would have wanted to, he just can't do it anymore. You understand that there's going to, without encouragement, there'll come a time when you just can't do it anymore. So what do? We consider one another to provoke. We use the word provoke in a very negative way most times. Stop provoking me. I hear that in our... I'll say that to our children. Stop provoking each other. What is that? Spurring each other to a certain action. Usually it's negative, but here it's told us to provoke unto love and to good works. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And you may think, hey, I'm going to be the Moses that needs a lot of help. And I don't think it's fair to just require so much of everybody. But please understand that just as much as you are a Moses, you're also an Aaron. And you're a Hur. As much as your arms need to be held up, you also need to be an encouragement and help somebody else. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Remember with David, and he was really down after the they were out to battle, and their children and women and supplies were left in Ziklag, and all of a sudden they were taken ransom, and they came back, and they were calling for the stoning of David, all of that. And it says this, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Remember that? You won't find too many verses like that. You'll find a lot of verses like this. There certainly will be a time when, hey, I just need to get myself moving forward. But a lot more of, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You're going to find a lot more verses like that in the New Testament than, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Hey, keep my hands up. And if I could say that from your voice, I would. If I could bring each and every one of you up here to say, can you please help keep my hands up? I would. Because we all need it. Hebrews chapter 3. I have 7 points listed. 7 areas that we can encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 13. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily. How often is daily? Angel? Every day. Where do you go to school? Excellence. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hey, encourage each other. You know what one of the best protectors of us against sin is? The Word of God. And if I can exhort you on a daily basis to read the Word of God, that you not be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, I'm going to do that. That'll help keep your arms up. Encouragement to read the Scriptures daily. In a few months, we're going to have Brother Gip here. Brother Gip, I think, reads through his Bible every 3 months or something like that. He reads 20 chapters or something a day. And sometimes we hear that and we go, yes, that's what I need to do. That's what I'm going to do. And then we get discouraged about not being able to do that. Could I just encourage you to read every day? Read something. Not devotionals, but read the Word of God every day. I was telling my young adults today. We encourage our children to read Proverbs. A chapter of the book of Proverbs every single day. Because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And surely the wisdom of God through the book of Proverbs would be helpful. But and I'm not saying to not do that. But if every day you read another chapter of the book of Romans, that would be helpful to you. So why would that be? Because it's about doctrine. That would be helpful to you. If you read every week the book of 1 John, that would be helpful to you. Include it in your Bible reading. Don't just read those two books. I think sometimes people just read the book of Proverbs. Not that that's bad, but there's also 65 other books in the Bible. So if I could encourage you to read the Scriptures every day. If you could encourage someone to read the Scriptures every day. So how do you do that? We can't have Bible studies every day. You know what is helpful? If you just send someone a Bible verse. Say, how do you do that? Or write it in the sky. Texting. Texting is tremendous. Hey, this is what I read today. It was a blessing. Boom. You do that like 3 or 4 days in a row. A person is going to somewhat feel obligated to send it back. Say, that's a false guilt. No, I'm just trying to encourage you to read. Hey, I got a blessing from reading this. And probably tomorrow there's going to be a verse very close to the previous day's verse. Why? Because I kind of read consecutively. Encourage each other to read. Encourage each other to pray. Encourage each other to pray. Talk to the Lord. Look at Mark chapter 11. I think Mark. Speaking of the book of Mark, honestly, I've been going back and forth with this quite a bit. I'm not usually really indecisive, but I'm really indecisive about this decision about Teaching Institute. Again. Say, why are you indecisive about it? Isn't it a good idea to teach the Word of God? Absolutely. It's just, I don't want to spread myself too thin. And I don't know if this sounds right or not. This is what goes on in my head. I want to know that there's a desire for it, because it requires a lot out of the teacher. You come and you sit and you listen, but the amount of preparation is probably double that of what happens in the class. For me. So I was kind of going back and forth with it. And just this afternoon, I would like to, on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, not this Tuesday, we're going to start not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, all right? If you're interested in taking the book of Mark with us, we're not going to go, there won't be enough time to go verse by verse. It'll start at 7 o'clock promptly. I start my classes promptly, and then we'll end at 8:30. 7 to 8:30 Tuesday nights, studying the book of Mark. Say, I'm not good at tests. Well, come and audit the class. Just take it for the information. But can I tell you, taking it for a test changes how you take a class. You take it a little more serious when you're taking it for a test. So we're going to be taking the book of Mark. A lot of our Sunday school teachers teach the Gospels in our Sunday school class. Could I encourage you to come and maybe study the book of Mark extensively as we teach the Gospels to young children? If you're a Sunday school teacher, I encourage you to take it. Say you're just trying to get people. Yes, true. The Word of God, I think, is powerful enough that it would be well worth our time invested in it. Say, I've already graduated. Okay, great. But if you're ever on the fence about it, if I could encourage you to take a class this semester, the book of Mark we'll be looking at. So, there. Mark chapter 11 tonight. In verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Hey, keep my hands up. Encourage one another to read, to pray. How do you encourage another person to pray? Well, a couple things. You could pray with them. Number two, you could pray yourself and watch God answer your prayers, and that'll encourage somebody else. To testify of the answered prayers, it was a blessing to me Friday walking out of the restaurant and seeing Mr. Bowling there. It was neat to be able to go and say, hey, we were praying for you. That was an encouragement. Pray together. Send someone a message. Hey, I prayed for you today. And do that. Because we want to provoke unto love and to good works. Pray for one another. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And encourage each other to worship. I know sometimes timing works out and such where you're taking your kids to a class or Sunday school or something and you hear the music. Oh, they're just singing. I'll be in there in a minute. Hey, if I could encourage you to come in here and worship together, you'll get a blessing from the songs. If I could encourage you to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I have a friend of mine outside of church here, and if we come across a song that I think we have similar tastes in music and encourage each other, hey, check this one out, and we'll send a link. And then he'll send me one. He says he has a Pastor Russo playlist of songs that I've sent him that he's collected. Encourage each other to worship. We talked last week about worship and the extent of what worship actually is. But here, how about through song? There's a lot of music out there, and the devil can use music to, maybe encourage you in the wrong way. There's people in this building here that have made discs for me of the songs that have been a blessing to them and encouragement to them over the years. And I'll put it in my vehicle. Hey, listen to this when you get a chance. No, not all of it's always my style, but it's encouragement to me to know the songs that minister to them. It encourages me to worship the Lord. Also encourage each other to listen to the right music. Number one, read. Number two, pray. Number three, worship. Ephesians chapter 4. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And we use those words that verse to encourage each other to be kind to each other and to speak kindly to each other. And all of that is true, but can I encourage you? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The only way that zero corrupt communication can proceed out of my mouth is if I'm speaking the word of God. Hey, can I encourage you to be a witness for the Lord? To speak up. This morning we were talking about that in John chapter 9 with that person, and that person that would had been given sight again. Went out and he was telling everybody. Well, he was brought before people. Hey, what happened? I don't know. I was blind, now I see. Pass out gospel tracts. Invite people to church. Do you know that if you invite someone to come to church, Chase, if you invited your friend to come to church and they came, you do karate, right? So there you are, and you're punching people in the head and kicking them in the stomach, and you're like, hey, on Wednesday night we have a kids club. You want to come? And they come, you know what then we would do? That would encourage Benjamin. Well, I got a friend. Chase brought a friend. I could bring a friend. Brother Rice, when you invite someone and they come, and here they are, and hey, that encourages me to invite somebody. That's an encouragement to be a witness. I like when Brother Rice gives testimony of, hey, there I was pumping gas, and there, saw this biker guy, and I was nervous, but I gave him a gospel tract, and he was super nice, and then I find myself at the gas station, right? And there's the nice little old lady that scares me half to death. You know what encourages me? Hey, I'm going to go give her a gospel tract. Encourage me to speak the truth of the Word of God, to be a bold witness. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Have you ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? Anybody ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? I just read it, I don't know, I think it was Friday. And it's not long, it's, I don't know, 10 or 11 chapters maybe, 12 chapters. They're shorter chapters, but if we could master the book of Ecclesiastes in our heart and in our ability to use it, we could really undo a lot of excuses people give for not coming to the Lord, because he pretty much undoes everything. He's like, I tried it, no good. Tried it, no good. Tried wine, no good. Tried women, no good. Tried wisdom. He even downplays wisdom. Just made me mad and angry, he said. Now, you understand you have to take it with balance. Does that mean we don't apply ourselves to wisdom? No. But if we could master the book of Ecclesiastes, we could really contend for the faith well. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. A lot of times we feel like we don't have anybody else, not because there's not other people around, but because we have excluded other people from having access to our life. So we're alone, not because people have left us alone, but because we have kicked people out of our life. Here, very similar to that of Moses. For if they fall, one will lift him up. It'll help you stay in the fight. It'll help you keep on going. Hey, keep my hands up. Help me to encourage me to keep reading. Encourage me to pray. How can you encourage me to pray? Why? By you praying and me seeing the answers to prayers will encourage me. Help me to worship. Encourage me to be a faithful witness. Help me stay in the fight. When my hands start to drop, would you come by my side and lift me up? I don't need anyone to kick me when I'm down. I need someone to lift me up. Tell me like it is and set me straight. But pick me up. Story of the Good Samaritan. Man was walking down the road, and there he was fell among thieves, and he was robbed and left for dead. Levite walks by. I forget the order. I think it's a Levite, then his countryman. Vice versa. Two people come by, and instead of going by his way, they walk around. And that's what we all do way too many times. That's a messy situation. I'm not going to touch that. That guy's bleeding. He's got nothing. That's going to require a lot from me. Therefore, I'm going to cross on the other side and just pretend I didn't see it. What he needed was someone to come by and pick him up. Pick him up. That's what he needed. That's what you and I need. When we go down, it's not to point it out. It's to come by and strengthen me and lift me up. Keep in the fight. Hebrews chapter 10. We have an opportunity to help each other. Just like Moses needed her. We're talking about the man with his little staff was able to split the Red Sea. It's not that he lacked power. He's got tired. It's not that God isn't powerful enough. It's just every now and then we need someone to come by our way and help us. To encourage us. With a word, maybe with an action, needs encouragement. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, encourage each other to be in church. Encourage each other. Exhort one another to come to church together. Hey, I missed you Sunday. Went over to our family's house this afternoon, and they, ask, "Hey, how was church today?" I don't know. I'm the guy up here. I don't know how it went. I have no idea. I don't know. Then hearing your testimonies tonight, that was an encouragement to me. Thanks for saying that. So. Well, does that puff you up? No, it's just knowing that my prayer is that the Lord works in our life. And hearing that encourages me. Encourages me. You understand that by your testimonies tonight, just you being here, held my hands up a little bit. Hey, the person you're sitting next to tonight, hey, good to see you tonight. I'm glad you're here tonight and you put your arm around them. And hey, how was your afternoon? What'd you do? Oh, it looks like you took a nap. I see that. And there you are. But I'm glad you came back. I'm so glad. What do you got going on this week? Tell me. Hey, we should get together. Let's meet for coffee. Tuesday, house 10 o'clock. Great. Okay, see you then. Encouragement. Hey, where are you sitting? I'll sit with you. Encourage each other. Encourage each other. Encourage each other not to just come to church together, but how about serve together? Hey, they need help on a visitation this week. You want to go with me? I've never gone. Yeah, me either. I figured both of us the first time. Come to church together. Serve together. Become a team. Help each other out. Lastly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 14. And now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Encourage each other with godly behavior. Godliness spurs other godliness. Maybe you were in high school, maybe 13, 14, 15 years old. All of a sudden a buddy makes an offer to you. Hey, try this. There you stood in a crowd of three or four people that you called friends, and you're the odd one looking out, and you took something or drank something, wishing that you never did that. Here you are 20 years later, still maybe struggling with the same thing. On the positive side, maybe some 20 years ago, a friend at church or a friend at school encouraged you to do something right. Hey, I'm saving up to take a missions trip. Would you come with me? I've never gone. I'm nervous. And your life was forever changed. Hey, why don't you... We're always down on bad peer pressure, but could we be an encouragement to godliness and holiness? As it says here, and now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. What is that? That's godliness. Say, how do you encourage someone to do that? By you doing that. By you being that. The best teacher is the teacher of actions, preferred over the teacher of words. That you would comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. We're all in it. We all got our life. We all got our circumstances. We all got things going on. Whether it's a heavy load or a light load, we need help. We need help, men, to be godly husbands and fathers. Ladies, you need encouragement to be a godly wife and mother. Our children need to be around other children that have a tender heart towards the things of God. We need encouragement. Anybody ever hit a bump in the road in your marriage? Ever? Sure. Yeah. Oh, that was sweet. Did everyone see that? Yeah, there you go. You know what we need? We need someone to come by our way and say, don't quit. Stick in it. Don't give up on it. Don't quit. Hey, man, I'm at my wit's end with my kids. I don't know. I feel like every parenting book I've read and I still have no idea. Can you help me? Absolutely. Hey, I'm having a real hard time. I've been reading, and it's just dry. Will you pray for me? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Know what that is? That's hands starting to fall. Oh yeah, I'll come by your way. I'll help you out. Man, I'm struggling. I fought this thing some 20 years ago and it just seems to be coming back. I don't know what. Here, let's hit the altar together. Let's pray. Hey, what'd you read today? No, I didn't read. What'd you read yesterday? Do you know where your Bible is? Encourage each other. Keep your arms up. Keep my arms up. Let's all stand. Moses, listen to these words now. Say, oh, service is over. Listen to this, and we'll end with this. Moses needed Aaron and her. He needed them. Without them, he would have failed. We're in a room full of Aaron's and hers. Be incorrigible. Allow someone to come by your way and encourage you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the example of Moses. God, I'm thankful you sent three up on the hill. Lord, I'm thankful for the people that you've surrounded in my life that encourage me into good works and love. Lord, may I be that to somebody else. Lord, I pray if there's one here tonight whose hands are falling fast, we would help. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to one another. Lord, bless this time of invitation if you touch someone's heart about something tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd use the message tonight for your honor and glory. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message that was preached here tonight?